Hey, Jeff.
Hey, Eric.
How are you?
I'm pretty good. How are you?
I'm doing great. We had a really fun week, actually, last week.
Yeah.
We spoke at SUNY Purchase, which was fun. Shout out to them.
We inspired the Ute.
We did. We went up there and we spoke about our careers. I don't know what they were expecting, but we really
They were expecting, they were like, wait, you guys have careers?
Yeah, no. Yeah. But all the kids were really nice. They took something out of what we said, which is cool.
Yeah.
And then the next night, we went and DJed at the Versus party.
Killed it.
Killed it. Murked it. Bodied it.
Yeah.
It was unbelievable.
Popped off a few shots.
Yes, we did. And it was our set was
Timbaland and the Neptunes. And yeah. So I mean, like, it's really hard to fuck up, so we didn't.
But it was just hit after hit after hit after hit.
Yeah.
It was just awesome. It was great. And now we're in LA, and we're gonna get into this episode with Andrew Barber from Fake Shore Drive. And we want to remind everyone that this is not our first episode.
No, we've had quite a few episodes. You can catch them all on SoundCloud.com or iTunes. Just search for A Waste of Time with It's the Real.
Make sure to subscribe, rate, comment, tell a friend and all that. When do you want to get to this episode?
In a second. First, I want to talk about how LA has like... The problem with LA is not the heat.
Uh-huh.
And it's not like the thirst.
Uh-huh.
I would say like the thirst for like, you know, celebrity like is pretty bad.
Uh-huh.
I think that LA might have the worst hats.
The worst.
Everybody like, in LA has the worst hats.
Really bad hats?
Really bad hats. Like, everybody wants to be Future or, like, Fleetwood Mac in 1978.
Or Pharrell.
Or Pharrell.
Of 2014?
Yeah.
2014 Pharrell?
I'm just tired of all these hats.
When do you want to get this episode?
I guess now.
All right. Yo, what up? It's Eric, a.k.a. Crash Test Dummy,
a.k.a. Hard Body. Yo, what up? It's Jeff, a.k.a. Player of the Year, a.k.a. Uchiwali Zerbiak.
I do it now?
Now you do
it. Yeah, what's up? This is Andrew Barber, and I'm the true player from Chi-Town. You know, I got my gators on, I got my shades on, I'm ready to go. We're in L.A., baby. Let's do it.
This is A Waste of Time, this is the real. Bow, 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 bow,
bow, bow, bow, bow. Yo, Andrew, I didn't have that plan, man. I really threw an air ball on that one. I want to do over. I'm gonna do Wolves over. Like,
no, this was true to life. So, yeah, you know, yeah. You were just able to, like, you know, say it how it is.
You caught me on the fly.
Yeah.
What's
good?
Man, it's good. It's nice in LA.
It's real nice.
Man, the weather's great.
Yeah.
Out here hanging out for the Grammys.
Totally.
So I had to come check you guys out.
Listen.
In our hometown of Los Angeles, all of us are wearing like super dark shirts.
Yeah.
You could tell we're not like too well versed with the LA weather.
No. We don't agree with the sun.
No.
So first of all, last night we were in the same building, but we didn't see you at the same party. You were photographed with Drake's dad.
Yes, I was. I had a photo with Drake's father.
How did that happen?
We're so jealous.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, what a time, right? it's too bad I didn't see you guys at the party. It was a good party. I don't know where you... it was a lot of people.
Well, we just landed. We, like, drove straight over there.
Okay.
And then there was a giant line outside.
And there was supposed to be a VIP list, but then there was no list. So we were like, all right, whatever.
I was faced with the same dilemma when I arrived.
But you got in.
With Drake's
we
dad.
We got in. Yeah. See, but we came in a different entrance, right? So here's the story. We came in a different entrance, and I didn't even know there was that huge line out front. And so we just thought we were going in through... the regular entrance, but we ended up going in a back way.
You did some Goodfellas shit right there.
Yeah, we brought in the table for you.
Yeah.
We finessed some secret way in there, and who do I see standing in the hallway by himself but Drake's dad?
And no one you knew, no one with you knew who that was.
Nobody knew who he was, which is unbelievable.
And he was wearing his OVO, like, owl chains,
right? At first I'm thinking, okay, this is a lookalike. Right. Like, this is a Drake dad imposter.
There's so many, like points of reference that he has to go through, like, for an imposter.
Yeah.
Like, you have to have the mustache. You have to have the glasses. You have to have
the hat.
The OVO sweatshirt or whatever. Yeah.
You got to have the whole thing. But then I saw he has that giant OVO chain. That's what I was like, okay, if this is a fake, I'm going to get a picture with him regardless because this is a good fake.
Yeah.
And I guess that's how famous Drake is now. You know you're really famous if your parents are famous.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So I saw him and I was like, hey man, can I, you know, get a picture? And I handed my camera to my buddy. They had no clue who it was. They're like, who's this like old guy that you're taking a picture with? I'm like, that's Drake's dad. And they're like, that's And then I didn't see him the rest of the night, man.
Was he nice? Was he appreciative?
He was super cool.
That's awesome.
Oh my God. He was like the nicest guy ever.
Was he with a significantly younger woman?
He was solo.
Really? Wow.
He was just solo, that surprises me. Messing around on his phone.
Have you ever seen his Instagram?
I gotta check it. I gotta follow him. I gotta tag him. I gotta get my followers up. I need to tag Drake's dad on it.
Man.
But that was cool, man. And you know, that was all for the gram right there.
Totally.
I had to do it.
My one big Instagram regret is that we have a Dunkin' Donuts right at the bottom of our building, and back in New York.
Yeah.
And one morning I went down there and I was standing online. I look over and who is standing there but the guy who is the Tupac impersonator.
Oh my God. No way. That is my story I was getting ready to tell. Go ahead. You finish.
No. So like,
oh my God.
We've seen him at like backstage at Summer Jam. Obviously like on the BET Awards when someone like was standing, I forget who was hosting, Chris Rock maybe, was standing in the aisle and like you see at the bottom left hand of the screen, the Tupac impersonator is right there. Mm-hmm. And he's standing right there and he has the Tupac jacket on and
which one did he have on?
It was of like pictures of Tupac like on there.
Yeah. And he's got like the bandana tied.
And I was like, I have to take a picture. And I was like, is it too rude to do it this early in the morning or have like one of the baristas or whatever they are, Dunkin' Donuts, like, you know, take a picture
the Dunkristas.
And I didn't, and I regret that like to this day for the last like 2 or 2.5 years.
I've had that same regret since November 1st. We were doing an event out here with Red Bull at the Madame Tussauds Wax Museum.
Mm-hmm.
So it was called a Wax on Wax event. And they had different DJs on different floors. And they hired, since the Wax Museum was already creepy, but they hired impersonators that like, cause, you know, they stand there and then they come to life and they were scaring people.
Oh my God.
So that was really funny watching
the day after Halloween.
Right. It was funny like watching Sunny Digital get scared by these people. It was hilarious. And as DJ Drama, he's one of the DJs that I booked for, it was coming in, I saw the Tupac guy. They hired the Tupac guy. And he had on that full,
wait,
like,
are you sure they hired him, or did you just stumble in here? Like, guess I'm here.
Machiavelli has risen. Yeah. Machiavelli has risen. But he had on that same, he had on, like, that sleeveless vest that he had on his MTV interview with the white bandana. It looks just like him.
Totally.
And I was rushing to get Drama in. And I was like, okay, I'll come back to him. And then I didn't see him the rest of the night.
I also want to know
I
want to know what this guy does. Like, say the Tupac thing didn't go off, right? And he was like, oh, I got this tattoo for nothing. And I'm wearing the bandanas and my mustache like this. Like, if that didn't work out, what does he do when he goes into an interview? He's just like, what has the last 10 years been? It's like, oh, impersonating some other guy.
Wait, what do you think his real name is?
Like Mark?
Yeah.
Justin.
Yeah, I was going to say Terry.
He looked like a Terry, but...
Add us on Twitter. Let us know.
Cause this guy, he's got to be around. There's got to be a way we can.
We should have him on the podcast. Is the real truth.
I mean, we want Drake's dad on the podcast.
We do. We should put that into the ether, Andrew. Since you know
put
him,
it out
you should,
there. Yeah. You know, and I should have grabbed his number, but maybe you know, if I tag him on the picture, I'll get a like from him or something.
Or
like
a follow.
I didn't know why he was there, man.
Man,
why wasn't he in Toronto?
This is a great question. He really should have been at
All-Star Weekend.
It's Drake's like big party, and
yeah, it's Drake's weekend. It's Drake's All-Star.
He never
weekend.
Really was there for his son.
Wow. Wow. All right. So for those people who don't know, Andrew is one of the most influential people in Chicago today and for the past eight years.
And possibly outside Chicago, I would say.
Yes.
I don't know about that.
Because you run Fake Shore Drive, which has become the hub in not only Chicago, but like all of the Midwest for hip hop out there.
Yep.
And we started out at the same time. We traded emails and everything. And then we got to know you not too long after. Mm-hmm. And every time you come into New York, we'd like to hang out and say what's up. You were born where?
I was born in Indiana.
Okay.
Yep.
And
wow. So the truth comes out.
Out. Yeah, no, that's common knowledge. Yeah,
but you went to Indiana University. True. Isn't, and Chicago ends up being that place where like kids from like Indiana or like Minnesota or Missouri, like they sort of end up going to Chicago, where like a lot of kids in like Boston or like upstate New York or Washington will go to.
We'll go to
New York
City. Yeah. If like you go to the Big Ten schools, that's where most of the kids go after college. They'll
and
end
so
up in Chicago.
How did Fake Shore Drive like come to be?
Well, my first little foray into the music business was I worked at a radio station in Chicago.
Which one?
Q101.
Okay.
It's an alternative rock station.
Wow.
It's no longer on the air, but I interned for like the big morning show guy up there.
What was the morning show like name? Did they have like characters?
It was called the Man Cow Show. And they did have, they
oh,
did
man,
have,
he's
Man
big.
Cow, right? Yeah. So he's like back now. He fell off for a few years. And I used to work for, I used to intern for him. He was kind of a dick, but you know, he was like talk to interns like, hey, intern, go get me a McDonald's. Like,
really?
He was that type of guy, But I mean, he was successful. I was just an intern at the time.
That doesn't mean you can be a dick,
right?
Yeah.
But I'm not into alternative music. I never had been. But it was a shot to try to get in.
Is Man Cow the one who was friends with Hulk Hogan?
No,
that was him. And Hulk Hogan slept. Oh no, not him. Never mind.
Love
Sponge. Oh, okay.
Yeah, you're thinking about Love Sponge.
Bubba the Lunch. Yeah, they're all like dumb names. Anyway, yeah. So Man Cow, and So does that mean you would wake up at like, you know, 4:30 in the morning?
Some days, yeah. If I was scheduled to have to work on the morning show, I didn't do it every day. You would like rotate, so you'd do it like maybe 1 or 2 days a week, and then you might have to go do something at night that night for the station.
What'd you major in at IU?
I majored
getting
in
coffee.
Yeah, right. getting man cow McDonald's. No, at IU I managed in SPIA, School of Public and Environmental Affairs, which was actually called the School of Partying and Easy A's. That's what people call it. And then I had a music minor.
Okay.
Because I was taking so many music classes.
Yeah.
That I, you know, the counselor or whatever you want to call it said, you know, you could get a minor in this. So I had to take a couple theory classes. So, you know, I don't use anything with my major.
Yeah.
I don't think most people really do.
Well, what would you have used it for?
Right. Yeah. I don't even know what it is.
Major key.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And then, so I, you know, I do use my minor.
Yeah, so
minor key. So did you know Mark Cuban?
I did not, but I've seen him around. You would catch him. Like, he would come to IU and go to
the different bars.
Yeah. Because he used to own one of the bars.
Really?
He owned a bar
when
he was in college.
Like, yo, he was always there.
Yeah, right. But he would come in and he would be cool and he'd like buy everybody. You know, he would buy everybody shots at the bar, and then he would, like, you know, come in and do a thing and then leave.
Man.
But I'd seen him around over
just
the
like Drake's dad.
Just like Drake's dad. But Drake's dad's easier to get a picture with.
So, wait, did you have any good basketball years while you were at IU?
Yeah, man. When I was a sophomore was when Bobby Knight got fired.
Wow. Yeah, great year. Great year for Bobby.
But that was crazy because the kids rioted on campus.
Yeah.
And so, like, you know, people look, college kids, I guess, just look for any excuse to cause mayhem.
Sure. Yeah.
At least at like a Big Ten school.
Well, it wasn't happening for IU football.
No.
It wasn't happening. I went to Boston University. It wasn't happening for BU football either.
No.
We didn't even have a football team.
Yeah.
Right. And then they tore the, you know, they had the Showalter Fountain where they have the fish and they ripped the fish down and people were like turning over. It was crazy. It was wild to see people like so fake upset that Bobby Knight got fired.
And then you guys went to the
championship.
Finals.
Yeah, we went to the finals against Maryland and got beat.
Shout out to Jared Jeffries.
Yeah, right. Yeah, the homie. That's my guy. I mean, I used to, you know, see all those guys around and party with them on campus and stuff a long time ago.
Wait. Is there a statute of limitations on Jared Jeffries partying?
You know, I've seen some basketball players get thrown out of parties before, but I won't say who. But you know, they were always the basketball players on campus were treated like gods.
Yeah,
you know, they were treated like bigger than life. You know, now it's kind of funny looking back because not a lot of them ended up going to the NBA or whatever.
Jared Jeffries was the big guy. Who else was Eric Gordon there? Or was that after you left?
That was after I left.
Okay.
I think that was the year or two after I left. AJ Moye, Jeff Newton was there. Tom Coverdale was a pretty big player when I was there. So it was a lot of people, but I'm not a big sports fan.
Okay.
So I'm not like the best person to ask about sports anything. So I can rattle off a few names, but like I am not the you know, the almanac, if you will.
But you decided right after college to go to Chicago.
Yeah, I had lived there before.
Oh, okay.
I got out of school. So after I graduated, I went up there and I took a job in TV advertising sales, which wasn't really, you know, my thing. I liked it. It was a good job and everything. But I thought that was a way that I could kind of get into the entertainment business. But I didn't, you know, at that time, you don't realize that.
There's walls between departments.
Right. Yeah. It's like church and state. Right. Yeah. So if you are, you know, in the ad sales department, that's like in the creative department, they hate each other because the ad salespeople are saying, make it safer, especially FX. That was the network that I work for. They're, you know, ad sales, like, make it safer so we can sell more ads. And they're like, no, screw you. We want to make it edgy. So I did that for a while. And then I just kind of started doing fake short drive on the side.
And you kept that FX job for like years.
Yeah, I had it for a long, I was running it from my desk. Pretty much.
So how quickly did it come to be that your coworkers knew what you were doing?
That's when it kind of got weird. What happened was the Chicago Reader, which is a big like weekly newspaper publication in Chicago, obviously, they did a feature on me.
Yeah.
And that was like the first time I'd ever had anybody do any press on me. I had to go do a photo shoot.
Right.
And it was distributed like throughout, you know, it's on every newsstand. It's everywhere in the news boxes throughout the city. And the day that the cover came, I wasn't on the cover, but I had like a 3-page spread.
Man.
And somebody tipped my boss off, like at a creative agency. They were like, look, this is your guy. Is this your guy that works for you? Like, he's like a rap blogger, like, well, this guy?
Yeah.
And he called me in his office, and I thought I was about to get fired. He's like, shut the door. I'm like, okay. So they looked up my traffic. They looked up all the stuff. They realized that I've been, you know, running this website from the Fox servers for the past 4 years. And, but then he was super cool. He was like, man, this is cool. I'm really proud of you. This is awesome.
And wow. Then FX bought ads, and then FX sponsored the Chief Keef mixtape.
Yeah, right. Yeah. But that was pre that. That I've been gone from that for like 5 years now. But yeah. Yeah, I left before the site really kind of took off and went, you know, nationwide.
So, okay, so yeah. So you started and you know that you're going to do niche Midwest, specifically Chicago
yeah,
rap.
Yeah, I mean, because I was going to all these shows every week. You know, I've been an avid hip hop fan since I was a very, very young child.
Prove it.
I can prove it. I can. What do you want? What kind of evidence do you need?
All I know is that you worked in an alternative radio station.
Okay, so where were we?
Yeah. We were talking about how you decided to be like that Midwest
guy. So I was going to all these shows and all these events and stuff. And at the time, unless you were Kanye, Common, Lupe, or Twista, you weren't getting any nationwide recognition whatsoever.
Right.
Like the blogs, that's when the blogs kind of first started popping up. And that's when like the XXL blogs, which you guys talked about on the Sycamore show. Like,
yeah.
With him. Like that's when all those blogs started to come to prominence. Like Byron Crawford was pretty
sure.
Big.
Not Right.
Obviously Not Right, you know, SK.
Yep.
And, you know, Nas was around at that point. He was blogging.
That's NOZ.
NOZ, yeah, not Nasty Nas. But, you know, those were like the sites that I really frequented at the time.
So wait.
And I was like, man, you know what? I can write about this type of stuff, what's happening here, because, you know, the Cool Kids were really hot at the time, and then like the Treaty Crew guys were hot, and Bump J was around, and they weren't getting any coverage nationwide. They were like on nothing. Like they might get a blurb on allhiphop.com or something like
right.
that. And I'm like, this is crazy, because, you know, out of town rappers would come in and do shows and they would be like empty or half full, whereas the Cool Kids would have like a 4-block line to get into one of their shows. And I'm like, there's way too much cool stuff happening in the city, and this scene should be bigger than what it is. And so I just kind of started writing about it, and I built it up brick by brick like that.
Eric's gonna bring up the fact he just pointed at me. Eric's gonna bring up the fact that I thought that
well, we this past week we spoke at SUNY Purchase. Mm-hmm. And the first time we met Kaz from The Stashed was when he was an undergrad at SUNY Purchase, and he had booked Drake and the Cool Kids to perform at their big, like, spring weekend thing.
Wow.
And I made the bold declaration that the Cool Kids were going to be bigger than Drake.
Hey, but at the time, there was an argument for that. That was a valid argument.
Also, I think that their sound is actually bigger than Drake now. I think
they're the most influential.
Yeah.
I think that they don't get enough credit. Chuck and Mike are great friends, great guys. They don't get their credit for what they did. You know what they say, you know, pioneers get slaughtered, settlers flourish type
for
of
sure.
thing. And they were first with that whole retro tight pants. A lot of the drums that you hear now are still relevant as stuff that they were doing, you know, 10 years ago.
Is Chuck living out here now?
Chuck lives in L.A. now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Wow.
Chuck is dope.
Yeah.
Chuck is dope. But those guys, man, they were really creative. And there was a whole scene going on there in Chicago that the outside world didn't know about, you know, with Hollywood Holt, who's Holt now on Good Music, and Mano, who's, mm-hmm. you know, used to be Kanye's DJ, did the Weekends of the Hills, which is 7 times platinum. And, you know, there was a lot of that. Kid Sister was really popular at the time.
Sure.
And I think she was dating A-Track then.
Yeah, that's right.
And so there was that whole like connection. And so that was like a really hot scene, and they had lines and lines with people, and, you know, people wanted to dress like them, and these guys were really influential. And I'm like, the outside world needs to see what's going on.
So did you start it on a Blogspot?
Yeah,
or?
It was fakeshoredrive.blogspot.com.
Man, and how'd you come to be Fake Shore Drive?
Man, it just popped in my head one day. It really did. Everybody asked me, and it's kind of been a gift and a curse, because it's a really catchy name, but it's controversial. Mm-hmm. I don't think it is, but people are like, what does fake mean? What are you saying? Are you saying
right,
we're fake
right,
and this
right.
and that? And, you know, wasn't my intention at all. It's just Lakeshore Drive is like the most popular and famous, you know, road in Chicago. So I just named it after that, so I knew people wouldn't forget it.
It should have been Drake Shore Drive.
Wow.
Now it could be Drake Shore Drive. It could be.
And just to jump ahead years later, there were some people who didn't like what you were doing, and didn't they call themselves like Real
Shore
Drive?
Yeah, yeah. I checked that out a couple months ago. That site is still there. It's called Real Shore Drive,
mm-hmm.
and they were offering a different outlook on things.
Listen,
it's Fake Shore Drive.
If you ain't got no haters, you ain't popping.
Right. And there was also a Fuck Fake Shore Drive.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, how'd that work out?
Pretty good. Our sales are up.
And there was fake Instagram. There was been a lot of stuff in Chicago. And, you know, at the time, there wasn't any other blog doing that. And others have come. But now there's, like, probably 20 or 30 different, like, Chicago-oriented or Midwest-oriented blogs.
Well, what was the first thing that really popped off for you, though, for Fake Short Drive? What was the first post that really got traction and you were like, this is something that I can build upon?
You know, one of the early things that I had that nobody else had, because that was the thing. What was my edge? Because there was a lot of rappers in Chicago, but there was only a few that the outside bloggers kind of cared about at that time early on. Like, of course, they cared about people within the Kanye circle. So, like, you know, GLC and Really Doe and Mickey Halstead and those guys kind of around that Rhyme Fest at the time.
City Alderman.
That's right.
City Alderman. Right. And so those guys would send me songs, and I, you know, had relationships with them. At first, they kind of were like, oh, who's this guy? You know, what are you trying to do? Because that was still a weird time. Like, 07 was kind of still weird, especially in Chicago, because people were still trying to sell physicals. So I'd be like, no, I want you to send me this, and I will put it on the website. And they're like, what? You want me to give my music away for free? You want to put it online? So people didn't really get the con- it took a while. But to answer your question, one of Lupe's old producers gave me like 20 unreleased Lupe songs that nobody else had in the world. And this was like 08.
Wow.
And I posted them like one by one. I would post one.
What was Lupe's reaction?
I thought he was going to kill me. I thought he was going to kill me when I saw that, because, you know, people might think Lupe is a joke or a punk or whatever, but Lupe is not a punk.
No.
Lupe is a thorough cat, triple black belt, plugged in dude in Chicago.
Now, like, you know, he will kick and push your intestines in.
Now, one of the reasons why we're successful, I think, and one of the reasons why you're successful is because all three of us go out to events.
Right.
We show our faces. We're not like hiding behind an anonymous like egg on Twitter or anything
that.
Nope. So you put these songs up on your site and then you actually go out and you could run into Lupe.
And I did. And I did run into him. And I don't know what I was crazy back then. He was doing like a Coca-Cola daytime concert at the Park West, which is a pretty famous venue in Chicago. And this is Lupe like right after the cool.
Yep.
So it's the cool Lupe, peak Lupe, like when he's like, people were
like,
opened for Kanye.
And this is like when, like, kind of like how J. Cole is now, where you go to one of his shows and there's a, you know, 10 block line down the street and people are going crazy trying to get in. That's like what Lupe was. Like, he had the craziest fans. And I got a chance to interview him. And I don't know why I was like, dude, I'm about to interview him. And I walked up to him and he was sitting there and I'm like, they were like, Fake Short Drive, you're next. And Lupe was like, Fake Short Drive? That's you? That's you? He grabbed his guy. He's like, yo, Ant, this is the dude that's been leaking all my stuff. And like, I was like holding the camera and my hands were like shaking. And I was like, man, but he laughed about it. He was like, I know where you get them from. It's all good.
Wow.
He's like, at least I don't have to drop a mixtape. And I interviewed him and I put it online. And so after, we've been cool ever since.
That's awesome. And that did numbers for you.
That did numbers. Like, yeah, because I could get on other blogs. You know, what I used to do was I would try to find exclusives so I could get on other blogs and they would link back to me. So people would see, what's Fake Short Drive? And then click back to it.
Sure.
You know, because the whole goal at the time was just to try to get like a link back on Not Right.
Yeah, which is where I found you.
Right. Well, so shout out to SK, man. He really is
the blog father.
He really is, man, for real.
It was between getting link backs and being on someone's blog roll. Remember that?
That was it, dude. Yeah. And I used to hit up like, I remember hitting Mike Wax and those guys early on. Yep. Like, and then you guys hit me up, like, let's get on the, let's switch it up. And you know, well, you remember when on Not Right, when they had like, he would put the hard links in the corner.
Yeah,
they weren't like posts, but like you could click on them. Those were like the big traffic getters. Like if you could get on that, like,
totally.
And you know, this is all pre-social media,
mm-hmm.
so it was a different era. You guys were around. We were all around at that time. It was the blog game was way different.
Way different. Mike Wax is a fascinating story too. Like his whole like career shift, because he went out to Chicago. He was in Columbia.
He was in Chicago then too. Yeah, and Mike Carson.
And and the two of them. Well, so Mike Wax had been doing Ill Roots since like high school, right?
I mean, since they were like babies.
Yeah,
since like, they were like 16 or whatever.
Yeah, and then he went out to college, and then during their freshman year, they dropped out. Like Mike Carson and Mike Wax to go like
they were working at RSVP Gallery, is Don C and Virgil's shop in Chicago, and they were just like interning and working there. And the next thing you know, they're like on the road with Kanye, and like they're running around with, you know, Big Sean and everything. It was crazy.
I remember at Big Sean's listening party for Finally Famous, they had done all the video work behind him. And that was one of the best, we say this all the time, but it's one of the best listening sessions we've ever been to, partially because they turn off all the lights and they sit you down and you're just focused on the stage where Big Sean is up there rapping his songs.
Yeah, because most listening parties, nobody actually listens to the music. Nobody. You're just there to like network and be like, yo, be who's seen. That person? Like, that person sucks.
That's all listening. They're a joke. Yeah. They're not a real thing.
No.
And like, especially the time when Kendrick came to Chicago to play Good Kid, Mad City, and he stormed off. Because people were talking. He was playing the album.
Nobody listened to Kendrick's. We were at the New York one.
They got pissed. They were like, they left. They took off. So that's usually how it goes at a listening session.
But now I
still haven't listened to Kendrick's album.
You still haven't heard it.
Actually, whenever it plays, you just talk through it, right?
Yeah. This is what we're supposed to do.
But that was a cool time, man. That was like the wild, wild west kind of. And we all, you know, all those people that were around early, like the Two Dope Boys.
Yeah.
And they all kind of had a, you know, camaraderie. Low Key and everybody.
Misinfo. Yeah.
It was a cool time.
So was there ever a point where you were like, this is just too much? Like, I'm getting too many people trying to hit me up, trying to put their stuff on. And
yeah. Were you trying to please everybody, or were you like, okay, I'm going to be a gatekeeper and be like,
I had to do that because, you know, there's 3 million, 4 million people that live in Chicago, and like half of those people are rappers, you know, especially after Chief Keef blew up, because then it was like everybody was a rapper.
Well, right. No, it was like everybody thinks that they can rap.
Yeah.
They were like, oh, if he can do it,
then I can do it. And all these other kids got famous. So everybody, that's what really kicked it off. But, you know, at the time, it was a smaller community of rappers, and people actually kind of had to go to studios still at that time. Mm-hmm. And people cared more about lyricism and their product. But then, you know, once the technology caught up with the kids, it completely changed the scope of the city.
Well, so how does Chief Keef come on your radar?
Or was it just so unavoidable that it was just like, oh shit. Like, wasn't it the World Star video?
That really kicked it off. That was I'd heard his name. You know, I knew that he had a thing, but when I first heard it, I didn't think it was very good. I didn't get it. You know what I mean? Because it was so
hot take.
I didn't think Bang was a great song.
Mm-hmm.
That was like his first video that had like a million views that D-Gain shot. I thought the video was like terrifying.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like it was like,
wrong.
Yeah. If you go back and look at that video now, like it's crazy. There's a lot of people in it that are no longer alive, and some of the people that are in it aren't even friends anymore. And it was a moment in time. And, you know, after the World Star video, that's what kind of really kicked it off. And then I reached out to him, to Keef's people, and we kind of struck up a little relationship, and they used to send me all the music early on. So before any of the other sites were posting it, we were the only website covering Chief Keef and Little Dirk and Fredo and Little Reese and all those other guys.
King Louie
was even before then. King Louie, it was like kind of at the time, it was like L.E.P. Bogus Boys.
Oh, yeah.
And King Louie were like the two hot street rappers. Before that, it was Bump J, who went to prison. He's still in prison. He should be out soon. But those were like the hot street rappers.
Right.
And then you had like, you know, the people doing the more, not backpack, but a little more, you know,
common.
Yeah. Exactly. And the when Keef came, there was nothing like it. It just took over everything. He was the most polarizing person I've ever covered in the history of Fake Shore Drive, for sure.
You ever see the video? I'm sure you did. The video of him tearing up his front yard on dirt bikes.
Yes, yes. It's a very nice area where that is.
If I was his neighbors, I would have just been like, watching this.
I can't listen in that area. You wouldn't even believe that I can't even believe that they let him do that. Like that, where it is, there's like old people next door. It's just the most quiet, like little neighborhood area.
Yeah.
And he just was tearing it up on his four wheeler.
So what,
crazy.
So
like the entire backyard was dirt.
But yes. So Chief Keef is the like the line in the sand, right? It's sort of like it's pre Chief Keef and post.
It was everything's post Chief Keef.
So all the record labels come running in, right?
Dude, that was 2012 was probably the craziest time. That was the craziest year for sure.
And
a complete shift. It was a culture shift.
Do all the labels come to you and say, who's popping?
Everybody. At first it was, you know, the Keef thing was so crazy because he didn't have to pay his dues. And that's like one of the things that people really hold on to in hip hop.
Sure.
Like, you got to pay your dues. You got to be in the background, the underground for this long to be doing this. And so he jumped over all these guys.
Mm-hmm.
He was the Kobe Bryant.
Right.
Yeah.
He came, and then the next thing you know, he's the hottest guy in the city. And everybody, he's getting blown up. He's getting blog coverage. People that have been trying for years to get on, you know, Complex, like they're covering him every day. And it's like Chief Keef becomes this phenomenon. And so all the, like kind of the older people hated him.
Mm-hmm.
They hated Keith. They hated what he stood for. They thought it was bad for the scene.
Yep.
Some of the arguments might have been correct, you know, violence and the gang stuff, but
dirt bikes,
and Keith really just changed everything, right? And so the label started calling almost immediately. And they were like, hey, we know you know Keith. We know you know his manager. Can you put us in contact with him? Can you help us sign him? You know, they start doing the little, well, hey, you know, if you help us sign him, we might give you a little, you know, a little job, or maybe, you know, we can get you a, you know, a little label. Maybe, right. You know, they were making all these fake promises, whatever.
Yeah. Fake shore promises.
Fake shore promises, right. And the whole time they were like, well, if we can't get Keith, who else can we get? And so that's when, like, I called it the gold rush. There was like 12 artists that got signed that year from Chicago. Like, they were just giving anybody a deal.
Yeah.
All the while that's happening, you know, I'm telling them, hey, look, I know these guys are great and what they're doing is awesome, but you also need to pay attention to like Chance the Rapper, mm-hmm. this kid Chance, Rocky Fresh, mm-hmm. Vic Mensa. Then all of a sudden they started getting the interest too. But they at that first, they weren't really interested in those guys. It was all drill. They just wanted drill.
But also LEP benefited off that, didn't they?
LEP really kind of set it off for all those kids because they changed the game as far as the straight to YouTube, high cinematic value, really good music videos. Because they used to have Kude and Chike do all their
just
videos.
Just going
to
say that, yeah.
And so they had the really good videos and they started getting a lot of New York love. People in New York liked them. And they used to have these crazy listening parties in Chicago, which you guys know about, when they used to fly like all the journalists in.
Sure. Yeah.
Which would nobody ever had done that. Well, I'd never seen that before. And like all the radio personalities and everybody would come in. So
yeah, I remember everybody coming in for a LEP Bogus Boys shoot or a video or whatever.
Listening party, yeah.
And then they went to R. Kelly's house like immediately after. Yeah. It was like the weirdest weekend all of my New York friends. And I was like, why was I not invited to this?
How did I not go to R. Kelly's house?
How did you not?
I've been invited, but I was out of town.
Really?
I was out of town. I got invited to.
That's a good alibi.
Yeah, I know, right?
Have you ever met Robert?
I've been around him.
Wow.
I've been around him, but I've never like
played basketball against him.
No, but I know a lot of people who have. I know a lot. Yeah. I have a lot of funny R. Kelly stories indirectly, but I can't tell them.
Because of NDAs.
Did you post the gangsta grills that he did?
Yeah, of course. Of course. That was ridiculous. That was ridiculous gangster grills. But, you know, I think he lives in the Trump Tower now.
Oh, is that right?
So I used to see, you could see him at like restaurants, but then I heard he moved to Atlanta. So I don't really see him that much anymore. I haven't seen him around.
What Chicago rappers are still moving around the city right now and keep it like really Chicago for whatever that means? Like, is who still lives there?
I think.
Does Chance still live there?
Yeah.
King Louis does.
Yeah, for sure.
Katie probably does.
Of course.
Does Dirk?
Dirk lives here now. Dirk lives in L.A. now. Gotcha. Keith lives in L.A. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of those guys keep places there. Herb and Bibby still have places there. I mean, I think they live there most. But a lot of people are just on the road.
Yeah.
So you never really know.
Okay. Do you think it's important for a Chicago artist to maintain some sort of Chicago roots in order to make their music, like, true to themselves?
I mean, I don't necessarily think so. Kanye has been gone, hasn't lived in Chicago since, you know, the early 2000s.
And that's something I want to talk about. I wonder how...
What, Kanye?
Yeah, well, yes, yeah, yeah. Just this guy.
Not that he hasn't been talked about enough.
No, right, yeah. And we'll get to his record in a little bit, but I do want to say, wasn't it like last year where he showed up on the sideline of a Bulls game?
Yeah, totally, and it ruined the game.
And
Bulls choked because of it. They weren't used to having celebs. You know, in Chicago, like, the athletes are the big celebs. There's not a lot of big celebs that live in Chicago. I mean, there's a few that are in and out, but, like, that totally threw off the bat. The energy, everybody was just watching Kanye because he's such a, you know, it's Kanye.
Yeah.
So
how does Chicago feel about their native son?
They go crazy. It's still, when Kanye's in town, it's mayhem.
Radio stations still love him?
I mean, I don't think he goes to the radio. Of course they love him. Everybody loves him. Yeah, I mean, No matter what he does.
Like, I don't understand this line of question. Everybody loves Kanye.
Well,
like,
no,
everybody pays attention to Kanye, even if they don't love him.
Well, right. I thought that Chicago had this sort of, like, love-hate relationship with him, where they were, like, sort of sour on him recently. That's just the feeling that I got, and I don't know if that's fair or not.
You know, I think a lot of people had gripes, right, wrong, or otherwise, that he didn't help. They thought that he didn't do enough to help the artists in Chicago.
Right.
Which now we can see he definitely has.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, he put Chance on two songs on the album, and he had Vic on the album, put Vic
and
on.
And he's shouting out Timbuktu. And he's,
right. He may not be around that much, but he's still very connected. I mean, his last album, he had King Louie on. And,
and
you
Keith.
Know, and he brings all his old guys, not so much, you know, maybe on this album, I don't know, but GLC still writes for him. Mm-hmm. Really Dope, Malik Youssef, Rhymefest, Lupe. Like, he has all those guys writing for him and working for him. So,
and he flew Chop out to Paris, right?
He flew him out to Paris. So he definitely has helped a lot of people, and just the Kanye effect. I mean, think of all the other people that
ever help you.
No, not directly.
He helped Eric.
Yeah,
he did help you. He did help. I mean, I've hung around with Kanye a couple times, and he's always been cool. Mm-hmm. He shows love. I know he's, you know, he knows about the site, and he's paid respect to what we do. But, you know, I don't have a lot of time with him, but I've been around him, and you know, Dauncey and Virgil and, you know, all these other guys that are around him, they've mm-hmm. all been incredibly successful.
I feel like our podcast would get like a lot of heat if you would just start a beef with him.
If I just started airing, that's what you're hoping for. You're hoping I'd start airing. But no, I mean,
how come Kanye hasn't helped Fake Shore Drive?
Why did Kanye not put Fake Shore Drive on KanyeUniversity.com's blog roll?
I wasn't on the blog roll, but they did link back to me.
That
was a big deal, getting a link back on Kanye University.
Yo, oh, yeah.
What a blog.
You know, Nation from Not Right? Yeah. He was the only person that was on the blog roll.
Yeah, because it was wmds.wordpress, I think, .com. Yeah.
So who, do we ever figure out who actually ran that? Who was the ghost blogger?
No, there were a lot of rumors. There were rumors, can we say? Or
yeah.
It wasn't Marcus Troy rumored.
Yeah,
rumored
I remember hearing that.
And I forget who else. Nation was rumored, but it wasn't him, I don't think. And
I don't know. He put him on the blog roll. Yeah.
Nation's good people, man. Shout out Nation.
Not right. Yeah. The Kanye album... And talk about listening parties, by the way. The fact that he had his listening party at Madison Square Garden.
Did you guys go?
No, we didn't. We were speaking at SUNY Purchase at the time.
Okay. Yeah, we had to speak to the Ute.
That's right.
had to touch the
our
Ute.
Our brother Dan went.
It's the real love the kids.
That's right. Our brother Dan went, and
he said it was very loud.
He said it was really loud. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But to have your listening party there. And it's a fashion show, and it's a Thursday at 4 o'clock, and you basically sell the place out. Is
amazing,
outstanding.
And you play everything off an aux cord.
It's crazy. And then be like, anybody else want to perform?
By the way,
Young
really
Thug,
hard to watch the Bulls play when he's playing his fucking album.
Yeah,
right.
When Kanye's in the building,
nobody can play the game. But I had just landed here in L.A. Yeah. I had just got in, and I just got to my buddy's place where I was that day. And I couldn't get it to play. It was the title. It was like Frozen. And they were saying like 20 million people were trying to watch that at one time.
Which, great for title, bad for everybody.
You know, I just don't know if they had the infrastructure yet to handle all that. But it's crazy, dude. Kanye, he can go crazy and whatever people want to say, but like he still has control of everyone.
And here's my thing. We obviously didn't get to see the title thing live, but Jeff had a rip of it. Of the live event, and listening to those songs then, I was like, oh man, this is sort of setting me up for disappointment. I don't know how this is going to sound, whatever. Listening to the actual album this morning, and look, I listened to 1.5
By the way,
times.
It has not come out legally yet.
But I have heard it.
Yes.
I think a magazine publication might have sent us all the rips.
Yeah.
I'm not going to snitch.
I was so pleasantly surprised, and I think it's such an excellent piece of work. I'm so like thrilled with what he's done.
Yeah, I've only been able to run through the official real album a couple, and it sounds much better than when I was hearing at Madison Square, for sure.
Yeah,
for
and sure. Also, how cool is it that he kept adding on stuff after the listening?
Just, you can't give a guy like Kanye like that kind of freedom. You just gotta be like, no, we need this date now.
And I love the fact that everyone is like, oh my god, it's only 10 tracks, and then it ends up being 18.
Yeah,
18 tracks.
And with a Max B interlude.
Crazy.
That's amazing. And shouts out to Mike Dean for putting this whole thing together and mixing and mastering and the whole thing, because it sounds just outstanding.
Mm-hmm. I can't wait to spend more time with
it. I know.
Because when I listened to it at the Madison Square event, none of those songs really grabbed me upon first listen. Like, not like the first time you heard, you know, Can't Tell Me Nothing or Good Life or Through the Wire. Like, when you heard it and you were like, I have to start this over. But now that I have the real album, I feel differently.
For sure.
Mm-hmm. I think, you know what I really liked from the rip? And maybe this is just because like the sound doesn't differ too much from the MSG stream, but I like the old Kanye. Like that,
I think that's so great.
It's
too.
So great.
Yeah.
Like, that's very him. What I was thinking too, during the first listen of it, was the fact that like he's almost at this point of another era. You know, we live in this Drake time right now where Drake can do something. And when he did the Meek Mill diss, we were in a club that night and everybody knew all the lyrics. And I can't say that.
You know who didn't know all the lyrics? Meek Mill's publicist.
Hey.
He was not happy.
So
was he there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
He was just like,
Yeah. but. You know, it's this era now where it's like people can memorize these lyrics and it's punchline, and
jumped over, jump out,
yeah. but for Kanye, I feel like it's not the same, and especially with this project, it sounds more like things where it's like you're gonna have to listen to it a lot. You're not gonna know all the lyrics, but it's about the feeling of it, you know. Mm-hmm. So it's sort of this Drake era now that Kanye gets to jump back into.
I tweeted this the other day, and let me know if you guys agree with me.
If we fave it.
Yeah, if you fave it. You can go ahead and fave it now. But I kind of think that this is very parallel, Drake and Kanye, to Wayne and Jay-Z in like 2007. You know what I mean?
I would agree.
Like, Drake's the... But even though Drake's been around for a long time, he's still the young guy, and like, Kanye's the guy now. Kanye's still the guy,
yep.
But here's Drake, and Drake's like, no, this is... That's the same thing that Wayne did.
Yeah.
At the time.
And even though Drake said that he's the new Hove...
Right.
You know?
Right. But I think that, you know, it is Drake's time, but Kanye can still, when he wants to shake up everything, he can still shake up everything.
Oh, yeah. For sure.
And if you roll with the Kardashians, you'll be able to do that. Because the Kardashians have been popping since the 90s. I mean, let's be clear.
Yeah, I saw the OJ miniseries. Yeah.
They've been popping since
FX.
On FX. And let's not forget that, like, Bruce Jenner was getting shout outs on Tupac albums in 96. So they've been popping forever. They've been popping forever. So.
Not the fake Tupac.
Not the fake Tupac. We got to find him.
The real Tupac.
We got to find him.
We need to go back to Dunkin' Donuts.
Okay, so you're also out here pretty regularly.
Yeah, I've been in LA. I used to be in New York a lot. That's why I used to hang out with you guys in New York. Yeah, totally.
So here's a question.
Yeah, you've gone Hollywood.
Literally.
Where are you in 2016 with Fake Shore Drive? Because you have this pull to the left coast. You have this pull to New York. It's bigger than just the city, but how do you
Eric
stay?
Eric says that you're turning your back on Chicago.
How do you stay true to Chicago?
Oh, man. I still live there.
Yep.
I still live in Chicago.
You own property there.
Yeah. Yeah, true. And, you know, I live in Chicago, and I'm still, we're still breaking artists. We're still finding new artists every year to break, and we're still highlighting what's happening there. But now over the past couple of years, we've started expanding to cover the whole Midwest. Mm-hmm. Because in my opinion, the whole Midwest has been completely underserved in hip-hop. Mm-hmm. The South used to cry about, oh, we don't get respect. We've never had our time. But the Midwest really has never had a moment.
Yeah.
We have some of the biggest stars, from Kanye to Eminem to Nelly. And
to Ray Cash. Yeah.
To the Doughboys Cash Out. You know,
yeah, but yeah, sure.
There's a lot of really talented people in the Midwest. So that's why we kind of wanted to cover more of what's happening in the whole region. And, you know, with that being said, we now have the radio show on Shade 45,
mm-hmm. Which is amazing,
which is cool. Ty, shout out to Ty, who, you know, he does the first hour. Then we have a guest DJ from, you know, around the region coming and do the guest set for the second half.
Yep.
Which is really cool. Cause that was a hard thing to get people to believe in. Hey, we want to do, you know, first it was like, let's do a Chicago show. But they're like, nah.
Too dangerous.
They just, you know, I don't think people think there's enough. A lot of people may not think there's enough talent there.
Right.
Because there is bias. There's coast bias.
Mm-hmm.
Let's, you know, that's just how it is. If it's not in, a lot of people think if it's not L.A. or New York, it's not popping.
Believe me, New York is the only thing that's popping.
It is.
If you get
this
past
is true.
Like, that's why French Montana doesn't extend really past the Hudson. It's because he was only popping in New York.
Shout out to Ron Stewart, by the way.
Ron Stew, man. Yeah. Oh, yes. Yeah, so you guys know Ron.
That's
you
our
guys
guy.
Know Ron
that's
Stew. And shout out to Ron Mills at Shade 45 for believing in us and give us a chance.
Because totally.
This is like 2 years in the making, and I'm so happy that they let us, you know, try this out.
Totally. And so what's next for Fake Short Drive?
You know, we're doing a lot more events, a lot of concerts and things like that. We've been working with Red Bull for the past 4 years on Sound Select, which is a program that they're doing where they kind of nurture and help promote new talent. We do shows. We're going to hopefully start doing them around the world and doing them in different places. You know, just growing the brand, trying to expand and do more things because, you know, I don't want to say blogs are dead. But I think the blogs have changed.
They have changed.
It's not it's not as important as it used to be. So,
right.
You know, and a lot of people have fallen off. So, you know, you have to expand and do other things.
Including us. We're not updating our blog anymore.
No, that's right. You know what I'm saying? It's not like it was.
No, I agree.
It's not.
Okay, so another thing that that you are a part of is the Grammy committee.
Yep, sure. I'm the secretary of the Midwest chapter.
Really? What does that entail?
Do you take the minutes?
I actually don't take the minutes. I approve the minutes. I approve the minutes, but I don't take the
old
minutes.
Old news, new news.
Yeah, so that's why I'm out here this week is because I'm going to the Grammys on Monday. I've been on the committee. I've been on the board for like 4 years now, and I've been with the governor last year, and this year I'm secretary.
Amazing.
Eric and I want to know why you voted for Iggy Azalea.
You know what? I can't vote.
Really?
I can't vote. I am.
You're a felon.
You've done time. Yeah.
Yeah. This is it, guys. I'm just going to announce today. I have a lot of pending charges. I am. What was a TI claim? 7-time felon.
Yeah.
I'm a 7-time felon. Like Tip. But no, I don't have any music credits.
In order
to vote, you have to have some kind of music credits, whether you produced, you wrote, you rapped, you sang. You have to actually be. So I can only go to like secretary. I can't go higher than that.
Because really?
I'm not. I don't have the.
You've hit the glass ceiling.
What if the president and the vice president die?
Yeah.
I still don't think I can. They're going to say, well, you can't. We're going to have to get somebody else in here. You don't have enough credits. But, you know, the Grammy thing is great to be a part of. And I know the Grammys catch a ton of flack. And rightfully so, a lot of times.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they don't get hip hop right a lot.
This year seems like a pretty good year, though.
Because they're starting to get it. Things are changing.
Also, because we're trying to get into events this weekend. Seems like
so,
a great.
But you got the hookup tomorrow night?
Holler if you hear me. I got the hookup. Word to Percy Miller. But, you know, you can complain all you want. But what are you doing to change things? So people complain the Grammys don't care about us. They don't care. But a lot of people that say that don't know that you can vote.
Right.
We have a voice.
You may not
be able to vote, but the artists control it.
Right? Yes.
You know what I mean? And people don't know that you vote. And sure, there's a lot of 60-year-old white guys that are voting, but now I'm trying to bring in new people. So I've brought in, like, you know, to be able to be a voting member, like a Freddie Gibbs, a Dej Loaf, Danny Brown.
Mm-hmm.
I brought in Chance, Vic Mensa. So Little Dirk is a member, King Louis. So we're getting younger people to be engaged and try to change it. And, you know, you can either complain about it or you can try to get in and fix the system.
Can you do both?
You can do both. Okay. I try not to do both because I try not to complain.
Can we fix the system by stuffing the ballot box?
You know, they use Deloitte and Touche for everything.
Do they really?
Yeah, they handle. Cause that's what I'm like. I was asking, like, hey, can you guys give me some tips? Like, what do you think? They're like, no, we don't touch that. We don't even see it. We don't know.
Wow.
Nobody knows until the envelope is open because it's Deloitte and Touche handle all that stuff.
Yeah. Can you tell us a good Twista story?
Man, I got a lot of Twista stories. I can tell you my favorite Twista story.
Okay.
He got me a cake for my birthday 1 year.
Yeah.
Yes. Which was awesome. It had the Fake Shore Drive logo on it. Twista and his manager, Raw, got me a birthday cake. I've been to Twista's like house.
He's
been
just
to
a his good compound. Guy, right?
He's awesome.
Yeah.
He's a great guy. And, you know, I think people, you know, he's not like super outspoken, so people may not know him that well, but he's like the nicest, coolest dude ever. He still lives in Chicago. He never left Chicago. He's been there forever, and he supports young talent, and, you know, he shows up, and, you know, he's a guy that we can call if we ever need anything, and he'll come do it.
What did you think when you heard Cameron shout out Chicago?
It was awesome. One of my favorite things I've done professionally is when we did a Cameron show in Chicago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was in February, and we still had like 4,000 people show up to like a 1,500 person venue. Or no, it was 1,000 person. No, 500 person venue. We had like 2,000-3,000 people show up. It was
turn them away at the door.
But they all bought tickets.
tickets were $3.
What?
Oh, man.
It was a Red Bull show, so the tickets were only
$3. $3 in a dream.
That's it. Okay, and it was a awesome show. And he showed so much love to Chicago.
Sure.
And I thought, since he's super plugged in Chicago. Like, he's the man.
Shout out to Happy.
The plug.
Yeah.
Shout out to Happy.
Yeah.
He came to the show by himself.
Really?
He came by himself. He pulled up in the Escalade and jumped out of the back and walked on stage. Because his flight kept getting canceled. He missed his flights. He eventually got there, like, right as, and he went and dropped off his stuff, and he walked in, like, his manager, British Rob, was already in the venue.
British, yeah.
And I'm thinking, he's at least going to have one dude with him. He was by himself. Cameron's awesome.
He is really awesome.
So 5 years ago, Fashion Week in New York, I went to a show which was supposed to start, at, I think, at 11. He ended up going on stage at 3:45 in the morning. So I'm there. There's maybe like, I don't know, 10 people there. He does like 3 or 4 songs. And then this girl I was with Caitlin Hubner. She was like, I want to take a picture with Cameron. So I'm like, okay, sure. And so I go and I take her picture, and I get on stage because like he was like, yeah, let's just hang out with the crowd.
Mm-hmm.
He's come done performing. There's 10 people here.
Right.
I'm going to hang out. So she goes on stage. I was pushed off stage by security because they're like, some dude wants to get on stage. Absolutely not. I go up on stage finally. I have the camera in front of my face. I take the picture, and Cameron goes, yo, this man's trying to act like he don't know me. He goes, yo, Freaky, you know the real? He goes, these dudes say they're from South Harlem.
What a moment.
Yeah. He's the best.
Did you know that he knew you at the time?
Yeah, we had done the video.
Okay, you had done the video already. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But like,
okay.
I was just like, you know, maybe he doesn't recognize me. And also, like, I'm just taking Caitlin's picture.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, Cameron has always been the best. He always has been our mom.
Yep.
He's never
no
met her.
No kidding.
Yeah, yeah. Just that's a really nice guy.
And
yeah.
I people might find that surprising, right?
Yeah, sure.
But same thing. He, you know, when we book these shows, a lot of times the artists come in and they don't even know what it's for. Some of them probably, the youngers probably know what Fake Shore Drive is. Some of the older people probably don't. But Cam was one of the guys that shouted us out throughout
that's
the night.
That's what's up.
Man, shout out to Fake Shore Drive for having me out here, man. Big up Fake Shore Drive. And that was cool, man. That was cool because not a lot of people do that.
Did you do, like, was that going back to that like 2007, 2008 era, would you get drops from people
for Fake Shore Drive?
Like, shout out Fake Shore Drive for me, like on this camera or whatever, real quick?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. That was when we used to do the handy cam little interviews.
Yeah.
For sure, we did the drop. I have a drop from you guys that you did on our podcast.
That was fun.
Yeah,
we had that.
We used to have the podcast with David Drake
and Ernest. Yeah.
And you guys did, like, we played it every intro.
Oh, right. Yeah. Yes. You could just see the most blank look in my eyes. I was like,
Yeah. You didn't believe me. You're did we do that?
I'm like, I don't know what show you're talking about.
Yeah, sorry.
Yes, I do.
It was called
that.
Disrespectful Radio.
Yes, yeah. I do remember that.
It wasn't as popular as your show.
Did we do the gunshots? I feel like we did the
gunshots. Yeah, we did the gunshots, yeah. Can you tell us a good story about Master P?
Man, I love Master P.
Yeah.
If you know one thing about me, is I love me some Master P. I love No Limit Records, but I can tell you a funny story about Master P. When I had the crazy idea of booking him for the show at South by Southwest 3 years ago. And on that show, it was a pretty cool show. We had L.E.P. Bogus Boys. We had a Cool Kids reunion. It was like their first show together.
Bigger than Drake.
Right, bigger than Drake. And a young kid by the name of Chance the Rapper who opened up the show.
Man.
Right? And he went on like at, you know, when the doors opened at 3 p.m. But like Lear Cohen, Paul Rosenberg, all those guys came to watch him perform.
That's the power of Fake Shore Drive, everyone.
Right. Yeah. Well, I don't know about that. Yeah. But
Real Shore Drive or fuck Fake Shore Drive.
Fuck Fake Shore Drive, yeah.
But at the end of the last person to headline, it was all Chicago show except for Master P. But it was crazy. Like 2,400 people through the door that day at South By, which is a hard place to get people to come and stay because there's so much going on. Anyway, I had to actually close the deal with Master P because Red Bull would say they give me a budget and they say put it together, right? So a few months before that, I had been at Art Basel in Miami.
Mm-hmm.
And who do I run into on the street late at night? Lil Romeo. I mean, we're leaving a club at the same time. We're with Trinidad James. We were Trinidad James at the time. Because we had a mutual friend. So and this is when like All Gold Everything was like the hottest rap record.
Yeah.
So we were running around with Trinidad James, which got us to, you know, we went to Puffy's house.
What?
Dude, this is when everybody was after Trinidad. We went to Taz's Angel's house.
Where?
Dude,
were you on a jet ski?
No, it was late. It was late. We were on that dock though.
When you went to Puff's house, did you have to take your shoes off?
Yes, you have to take your shoes off. He has slippers.
Yeah.
He has a bucket. Full of slippers, like a very nice bucket, like an elegant wooden bucket.
Sure.
You had to take your shoes off.
Yeah, he's not going to put it in like a shitty bucket.
No,
he's
going to
put it in a nice one.
Fabulous was in the pool. He was waiting in the pool in leather swim trunks.
Was Puff there?
Not a lie.
Was Puff there?
Yeah, Puff was walking, and I was sitting next to, he was wooing Trinidad. He wanted Trinidad to come to Bad Boy.
Bad Boy.
So we go to Puff's house. Puff calls Trinidad. Mm-hmm. He's like, yo, come over. I'm having a party. Because he has a Basel party every year.
Uh-huh.
So he calls Trinidad. We go over to his house, and it's like a nightclub. It's on Star Island or whatever. And it's like a nightclub. There's a big gate. It's like this massive gate with like flame lights on it. And working the door is D-Rock. From like Junior Mafia, Biggie
course,
fan.
Yeah.
I'm the only person that I'm like, D-Rock? What's and he's like, who is this white guy like that is like knows me? And they're like, yeah, we're with Trinidad. And there's all these people waiting in line to get in. And D-Rock basically just opens the gate. Everybody's trying to run in, and they let us in. They're like, yeah, Diddy wants to see you. So we walked right inside. He's like, come in, come in, come in. You know, he has this crazy table in his, like, kitchen, and he had a full-service, like, buffet of food, fried chicken, omelets, waffles, everything, anything that you could imagine. It's like 5 a.m., anything that you can imagine. And he's like, making sure that we're good because we're with Trinidad, and we're Trinidad's posse. And I was, John Monopoly was there, too, because he used to work with John.
Shout out to John Monopoly.
Shout out
yeah.
to John Monopoly. And, like, he was, like, giving us, like, the, hey, check this room out, check this out. You guys hungry? And, like, one of the things that I'll never forget, he gave a toast. Diddy gave a toast. But he really isn't a real person because he was talking to everybody and he was lighting candles at the same time around his table. And he was like talking. He was like looking in Trinidad and not, you good? Bow. You good? Y'all good over here? Bow. And he was like lighting them like around his back. And like he lit them on the first try every time.
Oh my God.
Dude, he's a special person.
Yes.
He's like a Harlem Globetrotter.
Dude, it was crazy. I'd never seen anything like it. He didn't miss. Like, usually you got to flick it a couple times. It doesn't work. He was hitting them all on the first try.
Star quality right there.
Star quality. And you gave a toast. It was real classy.
Stars are not like us. Toast?
Yeah. You know, breakfast is the most important meal of the day. Yeah. Seriously, that's what he said. So that's why I want to share, you know, this with you. Cassie was walking around in a bathrobe.
Sure.
It was a ton of people there.
I want Puff to be like, you know, everybody wait 30 minutes after eating before you go into the pool. Like, you know, yeah. just everyone
yeah.
be safe.
He was like, yeah, be safe getting home. I want to share this meal with you. We have plenty of drinks, have some Ciroc, have some champagne, some mimosas. It was awesome.
By the way, of course he's always promoting.
Always promoting.
Yeah.
But that was cool.
Was Fabulous the only person in the pool?
That's the only person I remember in the pool. Like I said, it was kind of late. It was like 5 a.m. I'd been out all night. But I just remember thinking, why is Fabulous in the pool? But his house looks, Puffy's house looks like a museum. It's crazy. That was memorable. But earlier that night is when I ran into Little Romeo.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
So let me get back to the Little Romeo thing. So I'm like, Romeo, how can I book you for a concert? And like, they looked at me like, again, who's this crazy guy? And he was like, man, talk to him. So they gave me some guy's number. And when Red Bull hit me up about my budget for the show, I go, I'm going to get Master P. And they're like, no way you're getting Master P. So I reach out to the guy that I met. And they gave me a quote, and it was outrageous. This was like a Master P 1998. This is probably what he was getting paid in 1998.
Right.
And they're like, we need this, this, and this.
We need parking for a tank.
Tank, yeah, yeah, right, yeah, yeah, yeah.
But anyway, they ended up doing it. I talked him down, and because I had to write an email because they didn't know what South by Southwest was.
Oh my
he was
God.
Like, man, P don't know what South by Southwest is. Can you tell us what's it like, Jazz Fest in New Orleans? And I'm like, kind of not really. So I wrote like the email of my life.
Yeah.
It was like a 10 paragraph why P needs to come to South By, why it's important for him to be there, what he needs to do. And the next day, the guy called me. He's like, hey, man, P want to holler at you. You got it. And so a couple hours later, P called me himself.
Your star tech starts blowing up.
Yeah. Yes, my star tech, my two-way starts blowing up. And it's like, yo, it's Percy. So P calls me. He's like, I got P on the other line. And we talk on the phone. And I'll never forget, he goes, man, I like where your head at, Lil Wody. And after that, I go, dude, Master P called me his Lil Wody. I'm good forever.
You're good.
I'm good. And then he did it. He had some ridiculous, outlandish requests. He had to have two armed, off-duty police officers with him at all times.
Sure. Wow.
Yeah.
People were coming for the Don.
Yeah.
Who's coming for the last Don in 2000? That was 2013.
By the way, the problem with taking out the last Don, there's no more.
Yeah.
Romeo.
Romeo was like the secretary dunk. Of the operation.
Yeah. He didn't have enough credits to get there. But that was cool. That was like a dream come true, man. That was fun doing the Master P thing.
That's amazing.
He was cool. And of course, and you know, he still thinks it's 98, right? So
sure.
He showed up like 2.5 hours late.
Mm-hmm.
But we got it done.
Last night, apparently, there was a Ja Rule and Ashanti show.
Ooh.
For Valentine's Day.
In 2016. Yeah. And Ashanti had to perform for an hour and a half because Ja was running very late. They had two shows back to back.
Right.
So I'm going to choose to think that Ja just showed up, you know, half an hour early for his second show.
Our friend Lindsay Weber, who went, was shouting, kiss, kiss, kiss to them. She was shipping Ja Rule and Ashanti, not knowing that Ashanti used to be with
Irving yeah.
Lorenzo. Yeah.
That's right.
You know, I did a Ja Rule show September.
How'd that go?
That was probably the most fun show.
Really?
Maybe the most fun probably one we ever did in Chicago. It was crazy. When I booked in, people thought I was nuts. They were like, nobody's going to come to a Ja Rule show.
What? I think...
Dude, it was crazy. Everybody knew word for word. People I hadn't talked to since college. Girls that have never come to a show of mine ever that I've been friends with for years.
Sure.
They all wanted to come to that one.
Listen, fake sure drives popping out here.
He's not pop. Ja Rule's popping out here. Ja Rule's got hits.
He does. And I said maybe a year ago, if Ja and 50 had a show that they did together at Madison Square Garden, they'd sell it out like in no time.
Yeah, for sure.
That'd be amazing.
Everybody on Twitter was like, absolutely not.
I know, but everyone they on Twitter is like, an idiot.
Exactly.
That would sell out the Garden.
That would sell out everywhere.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Garden's how many? 12,000?
No.
15,000? 20,000?
18,000?
18,000? Yeah. For a concert, so it's probably like a 15,000 maybe. They would have to.
They need parking for a tank.
That's No.
They need two armed guards.
Armed security guards.
Yeah. When's the first time you met Chance the Rapper?
The end of 2011.
How old was he?
He was like 18 or 19. He had just graduated high school.
And did you see the vision?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
Did you see the?
I put him, as a matter of fact, I can prove this because people have, you know, revisionist history.
Sure.
I can prove that I believed in Chance from day one because that a few months after I met him, I did a list for Complex magazine, 10 Chicago rappers that are going to blow up or 10 Chicago rappers to watch list, which almost got me killed. People were threatening my life over that list. People were very upset about that list.
I'd like to apologize.
Yeah. But on that list, I had King Louie, Chief Keef, Little Dirk, Chance, Vic Mensa.
Man, A&Rs really were listening to you. Like
they were listening. They don't give me a job though, but you know they definitely
they
have
offered.
But he came to my office one day, and I say it to say I put him on that list, and he only had one song out at the time. I saw where it was going. That's 10 Day wasn't out yet at the time, and that's what I put on the list. I go, he doesn't have any material out yet, but this kid, you know, he has it. And he came to my office. He was young. He was shy. But he just had, there was something special about him. He just had a really, he was really charming. He was young. He was rough. His manager at the time actually used to write for Fake Shore Drive.
Really?
So he's like, hey, I'm managing this new kid, Chance the Rapper. Can I bring him by the office one day? And, you know, here we are later.
And how much money did he drop off?
Was it? $0. $0. There's no kickbacks. There's no kick. But, you know, I've had a good career, so I can't complain, man. I'm just happy to see him. He's about as good as a kid as you know. He still always shows me love whenever we see each other. I can hit him. He'll hit me right back. And
that's awesome.
You know, I have a good relationship with him. I'm very proud of him.
That's cool.
2011, I don't know when it was, 2014, 15. King Louie, who we've always been rooting for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Gets a tattoo on his neck of the OVO logo, and we expected that he was going to be signed to OVO or something. What do you know anything more than we do?
What did Drake's dad tell you?
You know, when Drake and I's dad were hanging out last night, they had been doing some stuff together, but there was never anything official.
Okay.
It was never anything official. I don't know why he got the owl tattoo. I think there is another meaning behind it, and I know he says that owl tattoo saved his life. When he got shot a few months ago, which was terrifying.
But, yeah.
You know, we went to a King Louie concert together, guys. Do you remember this?
Yes, at Highline.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Future. When Future was not Future Hendrix, Future was just
That's right.
Future.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was just Future at the time. And King Louie, because Louie was on Epic at the time.
Yeah.
Remember,
right.
We went back in the dressing room and Jim Jones was back there.
Yes. Wait. And there was also another artist on that bill.
Uncle Merle.
No.
It was
Cash Out.
Cash Out.
Yep. Yeah. I'm cashing out.
Yep. That's right.
Who, the artist Cash Out with the hit song Cashing Out on the album?
Yo, that cashing song out. Still goes, by the way.
What?
Yeah. Do you remember what Cash Out's mother looked like and what she does?
Yes, now I do.
I spent like a whole day hanging out with Cash Out's mom.
Did you really?
When we were in New York with King Louie. We were in, because they were all on Epic.
Yeah.
And they had this big Epic thing, and we were out there with King Louie and Cash Out and his mom, who has like, she's like a hair dress. Does she like what?
No, she's like a burlesque dancer.
That's right.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So she, like, magazine covers and stuff, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Like, she's like the straight stunting, you know, model of the year 2009 or whatever.
Shout out to Kay Slay.
Yeah. Oh, man. So, all right. So, what rapper from Chicago should we be listening to, looking out for right now?
Wait, my guess is Kanye.
Yes, yeah, Kanye West.
You can't escape Kanye. You know, this question always gets me in trouble whenever people ask me this, like, who's next up?
We're not trying to get you shot.
No, right.
But, like,
right.
If it happens and you get more followers, like...
There's a lot of kids that I really like that I think are good. I think Ty Money is incredible. I don't know if you guys have heard Ty Money, not to be confused with Ty Dolla Sign or
Or Ty, who, you
or
know.
Ty at Fake Shore Drive.
Yeah,
right,
works
right.
Fake Shore.
Some guy, at some guy. Named
That's right.
Ty. But he's one of the most talented lyricists. I've been a big fan of him for like a little over a year now. He's starting to pick up some steam a little bit, and I think he's one to watch. I think he's really good. There's a kid named Smino. I don't know if you guys have heard of him.
Mm-mm.
He's originally from St. Louis, but lives in Chicago now. He's like kind of an R&B-ish rapper. I think he's really talented. And then this kid, Ye Ali, who's originally from Indianapolis, who now lives out here, who we've been covering and playing a lot on the radio show. He's really dope, too.
That's awesome. I like to imagine that you're making up names.
This sounds like I'm just making stuff up, right? Yeah. Ye Ali, Ty Money, Smino. Yeah. God.
Keep sounds like drugs that the kids do. Like, you smoke that Ye Ali?
Not anymore. I'm cutting back.
Yeah. When can people listen to that Sirius show?
Every Sunday night on Shade 45 from 11 p.m. to 1 a.m. Central Standard Time. That's 12 to 2 Eastern Standard Time.
What about Mountain?
Mountain would be 10 to 12, right?
Yeah, your math is good.
I'm good. Yeah. Not and East Coast 9 to 11.
Did you mean good like...
West Coast.
Good music. Yeah, yeah.
Good music, so... Yeah.
Shout out to good music.
Yeah.
Andrew.
Who is your favorite St. Lunatic before we go?
I can't use Nelly.
No.
I mean, I guess you could if you want to be obvious.
Oh, man, I gotta go with Murphy Lee.
No, Ooh. The answer is Slow Down.
Yeah, the answer is Slow Down.
Hey, Slow Down! Slow Down followed me on Twitter not too long ago.
Really?
What? Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
I didn't give him a blind follow back, unfortunately.
A blind follow back? Is that because he's wearing a mask?
I don't know. No comment. But dude, St. Lunatics were hot.
They were amazing.
Nelly does not get enough credit for
No, you're absolutely right.
Nelly has to get on the 30 hours remix.
He does.
He should get on that.
He gets shouted out like 3 times.
That would be a great idea.
Let's not forget Pimp Juice sold like a ton. He had like 2 diamond albums.
Yeah.
Damn. If they're not the actual product. What became of all those early 2000s energy drinks?
Yeah. Crunk Juice.
What happened to Crunk Juice? Pimp Juice?
Sounds like you just sold a Complex list.
Yo, Andrew, thanks for coming through.
Man, thank you guys. I've always wanted to be on this show, so it's an honor and a pleasure to be here, man.
Come back.
Thank you guys. I appreciate it.
Right on. Thanks everyone for listening to Waste Time with It's the Real. Jeff, tell people where they can find us.
They can find us on soundcloud.com/awasteoftime or on iTunes, Waste of Time with It's the Real.
Yep.
We are on Instagram at It's the Real, also at It's the Real Eric, also at It's the Real Jeff.
Yeah.
We're on Snapchat at It's the Real or It's the Real Eric.
Mm-hmm.
We're on
Facebook, we're on Twitter, we're everywhere.
Just search for It's the Real, you'll probably find us, or you'll find somebody who wants to be us.
That's right. Subscribe, rate, comment, tell a friend. Jeff, who do you want to tell?
I want to tell Andrew Barber.
Really?
Yeah, he's right there.
Yeah, tell him, Jeff.
Andrew, we have a podcast. You were just on it.
Go to Fake Shore Drive, people, and tell him It's the Real Center.
Yeah.
All right. And be sure to rate, comment, and subscribe to that as well. God bless
you. We'll see you guys next week.